Good morning. Welcome together to call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. All are sincerely welcomed in this service of worship and praise. My name is Betty Brown, and I am a member of the Zion Church Council. Welcome to Zion UCC. We are a faith community that seeks to learn, serve, and grow in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Wherever you are in life's journey, you are welcome here. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionlesur.com. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card found in front of you in the pews and put it in the offering plate so our pastor can connect with you. Finally, please fill out prayer requests with your joys and concerns and turn it into the ushers during passing of the peace. The radio broadcast and bulletins are sponsored by Hilton and Edith Schloop in honor of their 61st wedding anniversary. Happy anniversary. We welcome Pastor Gene Bringold Pro to lead us in worship today. 156th anniversary of Dresselville and Tyrone Evangelical Church's Labor Day service of worship and picnic are tomorrow, Monday, September 7th, at 11 a.m., potluck lunch following the service. This will take place at the Salem Historic Church. The address is 26089 320th Street, Le Sueur. A free will offering will be taken, and everyone is invited to bring a dish to pass, table service, tables, and chairs. The Zion Bell and Adult Choirs are recruiting members to join the fun. If you are interested, rehearsal begins September 9th. On Sunday, September 13th, the members of the Zion who have reached the age of 90 and older will be honored and celebrated. Please mark this date on the calendar and plan to join the members of Zion in worship. St. Anne's Catholic Church of Le Sueur invite us to the Apple Fest on Sunday, September 20th. The highlight of the festival is the pork dinner, served from 11 to 1:30. The festival also includes bingo, face painting, horse-drawn wagon rides, a wine pull, bucket raffle, and silent auction. There's a flyer on the bulletin board in the entryway. Remember, Fusion begins on September 30th, right after school. If you have questions or still need to register, contact Jackie Brown. September 20th, the fellowship will be meeting following the church service. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship service available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us prepare for worship.
It's almost Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day.
Yes, Labor Day.
Woo!
Fun.
Ah, Labor Day. When we celebrate the back-breaking, crushing blow to our bodies and spirits that takes place when we toil underneath the grueling thumb of...
No, this is a celebration video. Labor Day is a holiday, day off. You're thinking of the wrong kind of labor.
Sorry. Then Labor Day must be the day that we celebrate the American Labor Party, which was dismantled in the 1950s due to its cozy relationship with communists.
No, Labor Day is about hot dogs and beaches and Matlock marathons. It's vacation. Wrong kind of labor.
Okay, now I get it. Happy Labor Day, when we celebrate the 19 hours your mother pushed and as that pumpkin you call a head tried to make its way.
Are you insane? That's not a vacation. That's difficult. Why would we celebrate hard things?
Well, who said there isn't a place in our faith for difficult things? I mean, some good things only come from hard things. As a matter of fact, the greatest joys are a result of the greatest difficulties. It's why Colossians says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men. Our work matters to God, even the hardest parts. We just can't forget who we're doing it all for.
All I know is that this video is supposed to be about a day off, so get to the point. I'm late for the beach, gotta heat the charcoal, make the burger patties, bake my Jerry Lewis-faced MBA cookies, put on more sunblock.
You sound stressed.
Of course I'm stressed. I'm vacationing. That's not a day off. That's a nightmare.
I'm grilling for 30 people.
You know, God wants us to work hard, but he also wants us to rest well.
Rest? What's that?
Well, according to Mark 6, after hard work, Jesus urged the apostles to go to a quiet place and rest a while.
Take a break? From ministry?
Imagine that. God cares about your well-being. He cares about your day off. It's a time to show him how grateful we are for the fruits of our labor.
Just like Labor Day.
I'm grateful that we serve a God who insists upon rest and reflection. Otherwise, we would never know the great value that comes from the tough times. It's a perfect reason to take a day off.
A day off. I think I'll just nap right here.
This Labor Day, be grateful for the work that God has put into your hands. And don't be afraid to take a little holiday.
Holiday! Celebrate!
You're drooling on my toenails.
Did we get that?
Good morning. I'm Pastor Jean Bringle-Pro. It's good to be back with you this Sunday. Welcome to Zion United Church of Christ. Now, let us join together in the call to worship, which is shared on the screen and in the bulletin. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. Let Israel be glad in its maker.
Let the children of Zion rejoice in their King.
Let him praise his name with dancing. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people.
He adorns the humble with
great truth.
This is the Lord for his faithful ones. Praise the Lord.
And please stand as you are able and join together in the opening hymn, number 21, God Reigns O'er All the Earth. Still, through all our seasons.
join together in the prayer of confession. Heavenly God, I confess that I have sinned against you in my thoughts, in my words, and in my actions. I have not always loved you with everything in me. I am asking you to forgive me with your eternal grace. Cleanse me and renew my spirit. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Receive the assurance of pardon. It is wonderful to know that our sins do not condemn us. Jesus went to the cross to save us. I declare to you the complete forgiveness of your sins. Thanks be to God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. Now let us share the peace. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Peace be with you, Brian. Peace be with you. Thank you. Eileen. I'm good. How are you?
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh,
I
sure.
I apologize for the short notice.
Oh, that's okay. Okay.
The scripture reading today is found in Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desire. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing of this holy word.
Amen. Today's Gospel is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If you are listened to, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If that person refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The word of God for the people of God. Got a question for you today. A couple of them, actually. How is your credit rating these days? Ooh, Gene, you're talking about money. Are you keeping up with what you owe, or have you fallen behind? Now, before you answer or storm out in disgust, let me clarify what I'm asking. I'm not asking about your personal finances, your mortgage, your car payment, or credit card balances. I'm asking about how loving you are these days. Paul tells us, owe no one anything
except to love one another. That sentence just jumped out at me when I read it, and it continues to motivate me. It describes love as a debt we owe to one another. Last week's scripture was all about true love, and this week is a continuation on that theme. But today's lesson draws a distinction between law and gospel. This is a theological question that's been debated for a long time. Let's dig into it to see what we can learn. The law is found primarily in the Old Testament. The clearest exposition of the law is the Ten Commandments. It lays out God's ethical requirements. The law shows humanity its sinfulness and its need for a Savior. It is usually divided into three categories. Moral law reflects God's ethical standards. Ceremonial law governed Israel's worship and pointed toward Christ. Finally, civil law reflected civil and social life in Israel. The law functions to instruct and restrain believers in the way of righteous living. It is also pointed out that people could not achieve salvation through works alone. We are not a works righteousness people. The gospel is the good news of Jesus Christ. We are justified and reconciled to God apart from works alone. The gospel promises forgiveness, grace, and eternal life, emphasizing salvation by faith rather than by human effort. The gospel fulfills the law by providing what the law demands, but what humans cannot achieve, offering Christ's righteousness as a gift. The law and the gospel work together in a complementary way. The law exposes sin and human inadequacy and prepares hearts to receive the gospel. The gospel meets that need with grace and redemption, so they work together. The law cannot save, but drives people to Christ, who offers salvation and obedience out of gratitude. It is often said that the law diagnoses the problem and the gospel provides the cure. This interdependence creates a framework for faith, obedience, and spiritual growth. We need both the law and the gospel. They work together. Now, Paul teaches us in Romans, and last week we studied Romans as well, and this is a continuation. He teaches that love is one debt we never stop paying. I mean, when you get a car payment, right? Eventually, you pay off the car, right? Not with love. We're to owe no one anything except to love one another. The person who truly loves another has fulfilled the law. Paul outlines several of the Ten Commandments. He talks about adultery, murder, theft, and coveting. These are very personal sins, and loving others is a solution to them. They are all summed up in loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. Love does not do wrong to a neighbor. So love fulfills the law. Love is not optional or seasonal. It's a continual Christian obligation, and we never quit paying it. Probably one of the greatest books ever written about love is The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis. Lewis was a great British thinker in the early 20th century. He was a professor at Oxford and Cambridge universities in England. He wrote an incredible number of books, both on Christian topics and in the genre of fantasy. You may have heard his 7-book children's series, The Chronicles of Narnia. And if you haven't read The Chronicles of Narnia, I really recommend it, even if you're an adult. It is absolutely fabulous reading about a wonderful world, Narnia, where wonderful adventures happen. And it's wonderful for kids. So yeah, it might be a great gift to give your grandchildren for Christmas. It's just a great series of books. Last month, John and I attended a five-day seminar on Lewis in North Carolina. It was excellent. And I would like to discuss some of his ideas this morning. Lewis believed that there are four kinds of love. There's affection, there's friendship, there's romantic love, and there's charity. Now, affection is the most humble of loves. It is modest. It is comfortable and quiet in nature. It's the broadest love there is. We can have affection for a wide variety of things. We can say we love the season of spring, or the color blue, or we love sweet corn, which I do. I love sweet corn. There is little emotional investment in affection. It doesn't expect too much, right? But the second kind of love is friendship. This one involves more of our emotions. Friendship is different. Many people do not think of friendship as love, but it really does fit our description. The Greek word for friendship is philia. Okay? You may know that Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. Philadelphia, love city. Friendship is the least jealous of all the loves. It is willing to share other people with other people. The more the merrier seems to be the theme with friends. But the important thing about friendship is that it must be about something, right? My best friend Mary Sue and I have several things that we like to share. We both love knitting and baseball. And so we get together frequently to share each other's company. We also enjoy a common interest in politics. That friendship is precious to me. I can truly say that I love Mary Sue. And I'm sure you've all got friends. You can say, I love them. Of course, romantic love needs little explanation. It is a jealous love and very possessive. Sometimes it can seem pretty irrational, and in the early stages may even feel a little bit like insanity. I know that was the case when my husband and I met. It felt a little nuts. Probably the reason it felt a little nuts is we're both a little nuts. So we got together, and now we're insane together. So it works out. We can experience this love several times during our lifetime. It can come and go. In a long-term marriage, for example, the early and kind of crazy love may go away and be replaced with the friendship kind of love. But as wonderful as romantic love is, it's not the kind of love that our scripture is talking about. Our scripture is talking about the fourth kind of love, which Lewis calls charity. Now, this is much more than giving things to the needy, although that's part of it. Charity is Christian love, although many people of other faiths practice it as well. It's a sense of decency and common sense. We can compare it to how a gardener does weeding and pruning to make a wild garden turn into something beautiful. The question that charity asks is, who do we love most, God or humans? God's love desires only what is best for us. And God's love allows us to love what is not naturally lovable, including our enemies. Remember that every stranger we feed or clothe is Christ. This love comes by grace, and that is a gift from God. God transforms our love for one another. Charity loves the unlovable, and we all need it. Because we all have parts of ourselves that are unlovable. We can be forgiven only through charity. There is no other way. It comes from God's love within us. This love of God can be shown in very ordinary ways. A game, a joke, a meal together, idle chat, or just a walk with another person. God shows God's self in everyday life. We are made for God, and God is our true beloved. Verses 11 and 12 frequently are considered a type of wake-up call. It says there is urgency and that salvation is nearer than we think. We are to wake up to holy and honorable living. We are to snap out of our spiritual lethargy. We are to awaken from moral carelessness. We are called to live alertly. It is important that we remember that we have no idea how much time we have. We should live with eternal priorities. We do not know when Christ will return, so we should be motivated to holy living. The last line of the gospel is extremely important. It tells us that whenever two or more are gathered together in Christ's name, Christ is there. This is why gathering for worship is so important. When we're together in this place, a very special thing happens. That is especially true on Communion Sundays like today. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we are reminded about how much God loves us. He gave his life for the forgiveness of sins. Let us remember that love is the fulfillment of the law. We must embody love in holy living. As American monk Thomas Merton said, our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. Again, our job is to love others without stopping to inquire whether or not they are worthy. So let us try our hardest to live a life of Christian love. Amen. And this morning as we pray, let us pray for healing for Mark Pinney. Shelby Luters asks us to pray for them. And we wish a happy belated wedding anniversary on September 4th for Fran and Hilton Schloop. Let us pray. God, this season has been such a slog. It's hard to remember what it was like to be surprised by wonder. I no longer notice the little things that used to stop me in my tracks, like the bird song, or the red buds blossom, or the twinkling sky, or the sound of his laugh, or their crinkly nose smile. They have become white noise, a blur of details in my daily grind. Refresh me, O God. Remind me of the loveliness found in today. Surprise me with the details I've lost the eyes to see. Blessed are we, awakening from the boredom of routine, desiring to drink in from the beauty around us once again, full of the love you have given us, the joy that is hidden among the wreaths of the ordinary. Blessed are we who desire to feel our hearts soar with the glory set in the heavens, the moon and the stars, with awe at the people right in front of us, with the beauty of the lily and its elegant purity, and the mystery and power of the tiniest seed bursting to life as it was always destined to do. The world you made, it is irreducibly sublime. Blessed are we who ask for hearts that are soft, for eyes that are awake, for ears that are open, for hands to hold the wonder that is here now. And now let us pray together the prayer our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now we will receive the morning offering. No, you go ahead. Dedication. God, we bring these gifts, our response to your invitation. In this giving, we find ourselves not having less, but having more. Truly honored and deeply nourished by your blessing. Amen. And you may be seated. And now we will celebrate the sacrament of Holy Communion. Welcome to the feast of the Lord. All who are baptized and believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are invited to join in this meal. Come to receive the blessings of his atoning death, resurrection, and ascended lordship. Let us pray. God, you are good, gracious, and generous. We thank you for creating all that is and sending Jesus Christ to walk among us. Pour out your Spirit on these gifts and on us, that we may be united with Christ, with each other, and with all creation. Amen. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Okay. And as you share the bread, please say, take and eat. As often as you do, remember me. Take a drink. Let us pray. We give thanks, loving God, that you have refreshed us at your table. May this nourishment increase our love for one another and strengthen us to serve your creation faithfully. Go in peace, united with Christ and one another, carrying the light of God's love into the world. And let us join together in our closing hymn, Take My Gifts, number 562. Serve the Lord. Thank you.